Welcome to the Unseminary Podcast.
Are you looking for practical ministry help to drive your ministry further, faster? Have a sinking feeling that your ministry training didn't prepare you for the real world? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in pursuit of stuff that we wish they had taught in seminary. Buckle up and let's get started with this week's Unseminary Podcast.
Well, hey, happy Thursday, everybody. It's Rich Birch from the Unseminary Podcast. So glad that you decided to spend some time with us today. We're in for a real treat today. I'm excited for today's conversation. Been looking forward to it for quite a while. We've got Natalie Frisk from the Meeting House. Now, just full disclosure, I worked at the Meeting House in the ancient days of its, years ago. And so I'm kind of biased about loving the Meeting House. So I'm excited to have Natalie on the show today. Welcome.
Thanks so much, Rich. Appreciate you having me.
Now, your title is Curriculum Developer, which is not the kind of title you run into all the time at churches. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the Meeting House for people who haven't listened to the podcast before today, or also, just a little bit about your role.
Yeah, awesome. So the Meeting House is, our tagline is a church for people who aren't into church. Did you maybe have something to do with that tagline? I don't even know.
Back in the day, yep.
And we're a multi-site church now. There are we have one main campus in the GTA, that's the Greater Toronto Area, and then we have right now 13 additional regional sites or campuses, and with that kind of continuing to increase. So we're kind of at this interesting stage where we've got a couple more that are going to launch in the next year, so we keep on growing. So on a regular Sunday, we see between 5,500 and 6,000 people Sunday. So, and then as I come into the picture, so I've been at the Meeting House now, it'll be 7 years this January, been in youth ministry for that time, and got to do this incredible crossover from youth pastor to curriculum developer. And it's funny because sometimes I find when I say the word curriculum, people kind of cross their eyes. Start to zone out. They're like, curriculum. But it's been really cool. We came to this kind of realization that we've been adapting some different curriculum we've been using for years, and really have been appreciative of. We have been using Orange. We've been using their content. We've been really appreciative of it for years. But we come to the realization, that there's just kind of a flavor that we have as the Meeting House, mostly within the Anabaptist tradition, as well a little bit, I'd say, of the Canadian landscape that is just kind of unique to us, and just how we kind of communicate the religious message of Jesus. So we wanted to create a kids and youth curriculum that kind of expressed that really well. So we have begun.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think, the Meeting House is a great church. And, for people that are listening in, 5,500 people is a lot of people in any part of the world. But particularly in Canada, for folks that don't know, Canada is more like Europe from a kind of spiritual demographics point of view, incredibly unchurched, single digit percentage of people attend church on a regular basis. And so it really is, I think, an interesting place to study and learn from for people, regardless of kind of where they're at, to learn how to reach people who don't normally attend church. So I think today's conversation is of particular interest. Why don't we jump into a little bit more on that, on the curriculum side? So, let's talk about it. It does seem like all the curriculum comes from Atlanta. It seems like there's like this Christian mafia on some street named Peachtree, and everything comes out of there. Which I think, I think there's some theological distinctives at the Meeting House, but even just regional distinctives. We're in New Jersey, we're still in the States. And I would say that we have some of the same kind of like, wow, that's Fix is really cool if you're in a suburb of Atlanta, but maybe not so much here in Manhattan facing suburbs of New Jersey. So why don't we talk about some of those pinch points that you've pushed up against, and are like, oh, we just need to start developing our own stuff.
Yeah, I mean, as I mentioned earlier, something that does come up quite often for us, I think, in the Anabaptist tradition, is this idea of the peace position that we hold to. And for people maybe who aren't as familiar with it, we have a strong belief in our core values that Jesus teaches a peaceful way of approaching life, and that includes just the most crazy, awesome enemy love that you can imagine. And so, quite often when we are using different sources of curriculum, we'll come up against some language about the military of well, it's quite often the U.S. military, but and those kinds of conversations, and you know, just within our stream of Anabaptism, we may not agree completely on those kinds of stands. So we find that we've had to, you know, adapt language and that kind of thing. So mm-hmm. that would be kind of one of the unique encounters that we have, as well as just different core values that we just really want to impress upon our kids mm-hmm. when it comes to connecting with the religious message of Jesus. And we have found that we went from tweaking curriculum to going, hey, there's a huge opportunity out there for us.
Absolutely. It seems like churches, you get over a certain size, and it doesn't even have to be that large. You know, I think a lot churches across the spectrum will look at curriculum, you know, kids curriculum, youth curriculum, and say, you know, that just doesn't necessarily fit us. And we spend a lot of time editing. You know, we say like, oh, well, let's just tweak that, which I don't think is necessarily a bad thing. Obviously, mm-hmm. it's a great resource to start with. So mm-hmm. when you've set out to say you're going to kind of start your own, when you say start your own curriculum, doing your own curriculum, what does that look like?
It's a great question. So, really, I think a lot of the model of this curriculum has come out of the brilliant mind of our senior pastor, Tim Day. Mm-hmm. And there's been kind of a team of us that's been created to take the vision and run with it. And mm-hmm. so it is all based on kind of our place in the story. So mm-hmm. we're really heavy on the language of narrative and the meta-narrative and how we find ourselves in story. So our curriculum actually kind of has these three pieces that we really dive into by way of creating these three segments. And the first is life story. And so that's video based, and it's sharing a portion of someone's story. So in a series that we had just released to our community, a couple months back, we had a story of a boy named Jared. He was one of the episodes. Jared is an incredible 15-year-old introvert, like severe introvert.
Okay.
But genuinely wanted to take the teachings of Jesus seriously, to love God and love his neighbors. Mm-hmm. And what does that look like when you're an introvert loving your neighbors? I mean, it's intimidating. And right. so we kind of got to track along with Jared's story and see how he intentionally loves his friends at school and his non-friends, kids he doesn't know. And so you kind of get to see a little snippet of Jared's life. Other life stories have been kind of adventure-based. Two teens or a teen and a young adult kind of on an adventure somewhere were actually just a week out of a trip that is planned to go to Malawi and Kenya. Kind of getting to experience the world and see different parts of the world. And in that way, in our life story, in that concept, it's kind of like being able to take all, you know, 1,000 of our kids and youth on a learning team, a learning trip to see mm-hmm. parts of the world. So the life story, I guess, would be comparable to a modern day parable is mm-hmm. kind of what we're getting at there. And then the next segment after life story is called God story. And mm-hmm. it's exactly what you'd think. It's the Bible passage that we're landing in. And we're looking at just kind of different unique ways to share the story of Scripture. And mm-hmm. so we've tried a few different expressions of that. One that I think you'll really appreciate would mm-hmm. be a segment we did called The Caffeinated Pastor. The tagline for it was 3 cups of coffee, 1 minute, 1 Bible story. We had some really incredible pastors on our staff who That's took fun. The challenge and did an amazing job translating the story.
That's fun.
For kids. And, of course, we had to do a little teaching segment on what does caffeinated mean.
Yeah, exactly.
But after that hiccup, we were great.
Yeah, that's a core value. Coffee's a core value.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the third piece is my story. So it's how do we take this concept, this big idea from the God story, the biblical narrative, and implement it into our own lives. And so the my story time is an opportunity for kids to really see how they connect. And so the my story is kind of the hands-on interactive stuff that the kids do in the classroom. Mm-hmm. So we've been able to look at just different philosophies of education and different aspects of curriculum and really engage with different learners. So, mm-hmm. you know, we really keep in mind tactile learners. I'm actually sitting on my hands right now because I'm such, I love having something in my hands and kind of fiddling. So I can absolutely relate with the tactile learners, you know, kinesthetic learners, kids who, you know, just want to talk it out. Mm-hmm. I also can relate. And all aspects of learning styles. And so we really take those into consideration as we're creating activities for our kids and youth. And it's been a really neat experience to develop those and then actually see them lived out.
Very cool. Now, so you're delivering this. It sounds like some of this is being delivered via video and then some kind of in-class experiences. I wonder if you can just kind of clarify, what does that look like?
Yeah, absolutely. So on a typical Sunday morning for our kids, they would enter a classroom and then they'd get to experience the life story and the God story as video segments. Mm-hmm. So they're watching somebody's life story, maybe a 6-minute long video, and then the God story, maybe 4 or 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then actually in between those two, we do a little bit of a discussion. So they might see the life story and then there'd be a question that goes up on the screen. The kids are, you know, prompted to turn to the person beside you and, you know, answer this question.
Yeah,
and it's
definitely
amazing because the kids know they have, you know, 2 or 3 minutes to get that discussion in, and so they're talking and they're, you know, coming up with ideas, and some kids are shouting because they're so excited. It's definitely cool thing to see. And then they launch into the next video segment. So they have a video runs between 10 and 15 minutes on a Sunday morning, mm-hmm. and then the rest is time for them to really digest that in the My Story segment.
My Story segment. Very cool.
A lot of the things we do are run into small group settings. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you might have a group of 4 to 5 kids. Some small groups get to be a little bit bigger, 8 to 10 kids, and they get to really interact as they work out what this all means for them in their lives.
Very cool. Now, did you start with, like, are you doing this every week at your church, or are you saying, like, you know, we're going to do, like, a month here, a month there? How's that going?
Yeah, that's a great question. That's one of those things that's been a huge adventure. It's been kind of the bouncing back and forth. So for this kind of, I guess you'd call it like a school calendar year, mm-hmm. from September to June, we're going to end up with kind of what works out to be 3.5 months of our expression of new curriculum.
Yep.
And then the remaining months, what we could just call our current curriculum, which is, of course, purchasing our from our friends at Orange and tweaking things a little bit in that regard. So it's kind of a back and forth scenario right now. And for next school year, the plan is to expand that a little bit further until we're in the full year round kind of a processing phase. So
very cool. Now, this is a lot of work to do for one church. So, you know, are you thinking about, you know, selling this to other churches? Is there going to be a, you know, Meeting House, Inc., you know, curriculum machine that you're going to build on the back of this?
That's a great question. The plan right now is to see how it works internally and hopefully, be able to resource, any churches that want to use it.
Oh, very cool.
The discussion right now is how we best go about doing that. So we've had actually quite a number of churches express interest at present, and we've kind of had to say, well, we would love to let you utilize it, but we're just not there yet.
Right.
So we are, it's an almost not yet, it's the already but not yet kingdom that we're living in. And so if anybody out there that's listening is interested in checking it out for their church or want to express interest, they can actually go. So our kind of working title right now for the curriculum is Almost Normal.
Okay.
And so people can go to almostnormal.tv/curriculum, and there's a little video teaser there they can check out, and then they can sign up to express interest. Our hope is that we can provide it as a free resource to churches as desired, and that may also include, you know, here and there asking for donations so that we can keep this curriculum making machine running. But our heart is to be able to provide it as a resource that's used wherever and whenever.
Very cool. Just before we change topics, what had been, so there may be churches that are listening and they're thinking, hey, we'd like to, you know, set out and kind of start our own curriculum, you know, or do a month, like you've said, or, you know, a few weeks here or there. What would you say are 2 or 3 kind of landmines that you guys stepped on that were like, gosh, we just made big mistakes here, and we just want to pass those on to other churches, say, hey, avoid these?
That is a fantastic question. nothing is coming to my mind right now, but I think it really depends on what you're seeking to do, because for us, we had a pretty clear picture in mind that we would like to do in part video-based teaching and then some hands-on ideas in, you know, in a small group setting. We were really clear on that side of things. And I think that knowing that going into, you know, what our expression was going to look like on the back end was really important for us. I think if we were up in the air about our video-based teaching or how we were going to do that, it would have been a huge game changer for us because I think it would have provided a lot more questions than we would have known what to do with. But I think being fairly clear on the direction that you're heading and then just being willing to try stuff. I think one of our initial kind of hiccups was, you know, there's a little bit of the hesitation as to just getting out there and doing, hopping into stuff. So, you know, we wanted to make sure that we were at a certain place before we could dive into it, which I think is has a lot of wisdom behind it. But there's also, you know, that place where you sometimes just need to take a leap.
Yeah,
and so we've been taking some leaps lately, and it's been amazing.
Cool. Very cool. All right. So changing directions totally. I've noticed a little bit kind of bubbling around with my friends at the Meeting House about YouTube. And it seems like there's been a little bit of a YouTube sensation bubbling through the Meeting House. Well, how are you guys thinking about YouTube these days and how to, you know, leverage it for ministry and kind of opportunities on that front?
Yeah, I feel like YouTube is a conversation that comes up for us in almost every meeting these days.
Very cool.
And I think it's amazing. As a communications team, collectively, we had the opportunity to go to something called Buffer Fest, which took me a while to go, what is Buffer Fest? And but it is kind of the big film festival for YouTubers. In fact, the guy that is one of the co-founders of YouTube is a Meeting Houser, and his name is Corey Vidal. He's a great dude, and we got connected with him very kind of like you always do through social media.
Right.
And so we saw him on Twitter. He was retweeting some stuff, and we went, "Wow, he's got like 40,000 followers on Twitter. Who is this guy?
Right.
The Meeting House, and what can we learn from him?"
Yep.
So we brought him in on a conversation of, hey, we just want to learn from you. Like, you're doing some cool stuff. People are obviously paying attention to what you're doing. Why and how? And tell us about that. And so that launched into a really cool relationship with him where we've just got to learn from YouTube and what he's been doing there. So he is a YouTuber. And for any of your listening audience who's not sure what that is, these are people who create content on a regular basis for YouTube and actually make pretty good money doing
right, exactly.
So, there are a lot of YouTubers out there in the world, and they're a fascinating bunch. And so we got the opportunity as a communications team to go to Buffer Fest and to experience all that is the best of YouTube. And what really struck me in that experience were these YouTubers who, you know, vlog daily. They have regular followers. They have people who are not just hoping to catch them every now and then, but who are actually taking the time every single day to track with these guys and girls on YouTube. And it struck me as this incredible opportunity for discipleship. Like, I couldn't even really fathom the community that has developed around some of these YouTubers.
Absolutely.
And so as we, I could talk honestly for a day about that. I think, you know, myself included, anybody who disciples other people can be totally put to shame by this YouTube culture and community because they take the time, they're so intentional, they're so encouraging, and we can learn a lot from them.
Very cool.
So we've taken that conversation back, not just to our communications team, but back to our church community. And we're just starting to have some really neat conversations about YouTube and our what we can learn from YouTube and also how we can utilize YouTube on a larger audience.
Very cool. Yeah, I love that you're asking that question. I know one of the things, you know, our church does the church online thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I've said this for years. I've said it publicly, so there won't be any, you know, well, it might sound controversial. Some people are listening. You know, we've done it for years. We're probably 7-8 years in on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, our the model that we've adopted, that so many churches have adopted, is like this kind of appointment-based, live, you know, simulated live experience where people show up and they watch our services. And you know, we've got great traction on it. When we talk to other people from other churches, they're like, wow, you guys are doing a good job, mm-hmm. but it just feels very non-internet. It feels like this is not a resident to the internet thing. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of years ago, there would be, broadcasters, television broadcasters, that all they would do is take the radio show and put it on TV, right? So it's just people sitting in front of a microphone and talking. And it, to me, the church online, our church online experience feels very much the same, because I look at my own internet consumption habits and they look nothing like that. They're not appointment based. They're mm-hmm. completely, you know, they're, you know, on demand. They're short snippets. They're tend to be funny, you know, more personal. And so I love that you guys are trying to wrestle through that and ask that question. Mm-hmm. Is there a way, how can we learn from what's happening there mm-hmm. and then trying to graft over the message of Jesus, you know, into that? So that's incredible. So what do you think that's going to look like for you in the future? You know, I know it's early and we're not going to pin you down on anything, mm-hmm. but what are you thinking about?
You know what? I can't totally answer on behalf of the Meeting House, but yeah, I can say, you know, some things that I think would be amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, you know, we have had these conversations where it's like, you know, we live in a culture where we're binge watchers, right?
Absolutely.
Like, I don't know about you and in the American landscape, but I feel like it could be the same as up here in Canada, that Netflix is TV for us.
Yeah, absolutely.
I watch, you know, more shows in a row than I'd like to admit, and go to bed way too late as a result.
Yes.
And so I think we're seeing that, and we're seeing the connection with YouTube and Netflix and all of those kinds of providers, where that is where culture has gone.
Yeah.
And, you know, we are called to be in the world, not of the world, but I think this is a great way for us to be in the world and be connecting well with people. So when it comes to YouTube or these other online opportunities, I think we're headed in a new place that could look like, we're already putting the majority of our messages on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
They're available there, but we're also venturing into this new little world of vlogging.
Mm-hmm.
So Bruxy Kavy, our teaching pastor, has started a vlog.
Nice.
And so for people who aren't as familiar with that, it's really just what it sounds like, a video blog. It's,
mm-hmm.
you know, Brux picking up a camera and saying like, hey, here's what's going on, here's what I'm thinking about today, and it's just a very personal
mm-hmm.
Window into somebody's world.
Mm-hmm.
And that, drawing back to going to Bufferfest and getting to experience YouTubers and the culture there, it kind of removes that wall of, mm-hmm. You know, I see my teaching pastor up on a Sunday morning.
Right.
To, hey, I'm in his house.
Yeah,
I'm,
absolutely.
You know, seeing his dog and his family, and getting a real personal look at things and hearing some amazing, you know, wisdom and hearing about the religious message of Jesus as it's lived out in mm-hmm. his everyday life. So
that's cool. Well, that's exciting. I love that you're doing that. I know Brux as a communicator is a uniquely open individual. And, you know, he, in the past, you know, it wouldn't be strange for him to just invite the whole church, all 5,000 people, over to his house for a party. And
it still
so,
happens.
Yeah, exactly.
Three times a year.
And so, you know, I think that when I've seen him starting the vlogging thing, I'm like, yeah, that's about right.
This is the Unseminary Podcast. Stuff you wish they taught in seminary.
Well, we're going to change direction here a little bit and jump into our lightning round, that part of the show where we ask similar questions of people that are, you know, on the show. Super excited to have Natalie Frisk with us today from the Meeting House. It's been a great conversation so far. So, Natalie, what are some online resources that you're using these days that are helping you?
Well, I know this is going to totally shock you, Rich, but my very first one is going to be YouTube.
Yeah,
and exactly. Now, obviously, I talked a lot about the culture and what I've learned from it, but also just by way of a resource, YouTube opens the world to everything.
Absolutely.
You know, I want to know how to install a new app or a new whatever, and I can find it on YouTube. I want to learn how to knit a scarf. I don't That's not a thing that I would do. But if I did, I could go to YouTube. You know,
yes.
There's always that YouTube opens a door to almost anything
it's
that you
true.
Want to learn to do. And so I've used it on in so many ways in youth ministry, but also just in my everyday life. So yeah. YouTube has been amazing.
It's so true. Like just this week, I had a bit of a YouTube fail where I am not handy at all. Like I'm, you know, 10 thumbs guy, but mm-hmm. our dishwasher stopped working. And so, and it was one of those digital ones and it throws off like a little warning, like this is the number wrong with it. And so I did a little search on the Googles and came up with, there's a video on YouTube on how to fix this problem. So I'm like, great, took my laptop and I took my whole dishwasher apart. So like I'm following step by step. I do the thing that it says to do. It now sends a different, you know, error message. So at that point I said, you know, I probably should get an appliance person in to fix it. But it's true. There's a lot of that, you know, stuff out there for sure on YouTube. That's fantastic. What about a book? Are there any books you're reading these days that are having an impact on your thinking?
Yeah, as we've been kind of getting our team ready, the curriculum team that's going to, I had mentioned previously, Malawi and Kenya in a week, we've been reading with them Eugene Cho's book, Overrated. Mm-hmm. And it's just been, I mean, that dude is amazing. Mm-hmm. And the concepts that he brings up have just really been, I was going to say eye-opening, but I think it's stuff that I've always kind of had in the back of my mind. He talks a lot about, are we more in love with the idea of missions or the idea of compassion than we actually are about compassion?
Right.
And I mean, he gets into a lot of different things in the book, but that's kind of the main nutshell point. And, you know, I can translate it to, am I more in love with the idea of sharing the religious message of Jesus than I am actually doing it? Mm-hmm. So I feel like it's kind of spread out into different avenues of my life, but it's been a really phenomenal read.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. Now, are you going on that trip? Are you going to get the opportunity to go?
Sadly, I am not.
Oh, nice.
Trying to keep it as bare bones as possible. And so I am not bare bones, as it were.
Nice. You'll get to deal with all the aftermath, though, when it comes back, trying to figure out how we piece this all together, I'm assuming. Nice. What's another ministry or church out there that you're inspiring you these days?
Yeah, so there is a church on the West Coast called East Lake Community Church. Mm-hmm. They're in, I would almost say, the city of my heart in Seattle. I love Seattle. Oh, my
Very
husband
cool.
was born just outside of Seattle. So
okay, cool.
And East Lake is just a really innovative community. They're not afraid to try stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I just really appreciate that. It's really neat to see some of the things that they've tried and just their openness to say, you know what, we tried this, it didn't work, or we tried this and it worked. And mm-hmm. and just learning from them in that way has been really cool.
Absolutely. George, their executive pastor, has been on the show in the past. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a great church for sure. Mm-hmm. All right, just two last questions. So if you could get 15 minutes with any leader alive today, who would you want to get that time with and why?
Oh, I wrestled with this question.
Yes.
I went through, you know, I think Arianna Huffington is super cool. And I think that Malala Yousafzai, what an amazing kid. That was
nice.
Just so inspiring. And, and, you know, I kind of went through my list and then I thought, no, it's the Pope, Rich.
Oh, wow. As an Anabaptist, you're saying the Pope.
I know. It's so weird. But I think that the Pope is secretly Anabaptist. So,
that's fun.
No, I'm just so curious about what his own personal experience with God has been like and how he got to where he is today. He's an interesting character study. And I just think it would be phenomenal to chat with him.
Absolutely. I think he's making huge changes for sure.
Absolutely.
That's very cool. All right. When you're not trying to write curriculum for the 14 different campuses, 1,000 kids, what do you do for fun? How do you just kind of relax, kick back, you know, that sort of thing?
You know what? I'm sure there's a fine line between work and what I do for fun. But I'm not sure where it is. But I love to write other stuff. Mm. So I have been blogging for a while. We have a meeting house parents blog. So I'm kind of always jotting stuff for that. And I know that sounds like work, but it's actually super fun for me. Mm. So I'm kind of always got something. I'm on the go writing.
Cool.
I'm reading. I write stuff. I read stuff. Some of the stuff I read is total mindless fiction. Everything I know about the law, I learned from John Grisham. So,
oh, nice.
Yep. So if, you know, I ever have to go to court, it's going to look awesome. And, yeah, so just kind of keeping my mind open with reading. And then honestly, I just love making videos of my toddler doing stuff. I have a 3-year-old daughter. Her name's Erin Penny, and she is like the highest extrovert I've ever met in my life. And she's hilarious. And so I just like to capture what she's doing and send it to friends. So,
oh, that's fun. That's really cool. Well, Natalie, I really appreciate you being on the show today and taking time out from your, you know, busy schedule to be with us. If people want to get, so you gave the address already, the Almost Normal address. If people want to get in touch with you, you know, Twitter, that sort of thing, is that possible?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very easy to find on Twitter. I'm just Natalie Frisk. And they can also just email me at natalie.frisk@themeetinghouse.com. I'd love to hear from any of your listeners.
Great. Thanks so much, Natalie. Appreciate you being on the show today.
Thanks, Rich.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's Unseminary podcast. Don't be shy. We'd love to connect. Check out Unseminary Inbox. You can sign up at unseminary.com and we'll send you helpful training resources every week. Plus, you'll gain immediate access to our exclusive members area with tons of resources you can use. Connect with Rich on Twitter at Rich Birch or through email, rich@unseminary.com. Don't forget to check out the show notes for this episode at unseminary.com. It includes links to what we talked about today and more. Leave a comment. We'd love to hear from you. Did you enjoy today's episode? Drop by iTunes and leave a review. Thanks again for tuning in to this week's Unseminary podcast. Join us next week when we'll learn more stuff we wish they taught in seminary.